Heavenly Father, we bless you, we honor you tonight, and we ask, Lord, for your anointing tonight in this place, over your word, in the church, over our lives. Lord, we thank you that it's your anointing that changes everything. It's your anointing that breaks the yokes, that opens the blind eyes, that heals the broken hearts. And Lord, it's your yoke. It's that yoke that is destroyed by your anointing. And God, we pray tonight for your anointing, Lord, over your word. Lord, I'm asking tonight for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing to hear and receive what the Spirit of God is speaking to us tonight. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. So tonight, we're going to be starting in Psalm 86, and we're going to be running down to verse number 11 as we begin our service tonight. I'm going to read the scripture and then share a word with you tonight. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Hallelujah. I want to start out by telling you tonight that the Lord is looking for people that are teachable. The Lord is looking for people that operate with a spirit of humility, that are willing to be corrected, that are willing to be directed. Amen. God is looking for people tonight that are willing to be taught by His Spirit. The word here by the psalmist, it says, teach me thy way. And first and foremost, we have to have a teachable spirit. You have to be corrected. Amen. If the Lord loves you, He's going to correct you. I was sharing with someone the other day, whenever I first was saved, I used to love hearing the Lord's correction in my life. A lot of people thought I was silly, but I really did because it reminded me that I was really saved. I still couldn't believe that God actually saved me, that I'm no longer the old me. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. And every time the Spirit of the Lord bring a rebuke and a correction in my life, it reminded me that God loved me and I was on His side. He had adopted me into His family. Amen. So I want you to know tonight, just off the bat, just having a teachable heart goes a long way in the gospel, in the way of God. Amen. If you begin to be obstinate and you begin to be hard-hearted and real firm and unteachable and untouchable, then you're not going to go far in the kingdom of God. First and foremost, God is looking for all of us to have a heart that is very teachable. As the word says, pliable. Amen? One of those famous songs, it says that God, He's the potter and we are the clay. And I often say this, but it bears repeating. Our generation is exactly backwards. Especially if you know anything about the Word Faith community or the Confess Your Way and you know, Think It and Be It kind of new age thing that's come into the church. In their world, you are the potter and God's the clay. You tell God what the world's going to be like. You command God to do this, and you command God to do that. But the reality is God is the potter, and we are the clay. Amen. And if we'll be pliable and we'll be teachable, then God will do something beautiful in your life. Amen. And that's one of the things we have to do is surrender our way. We have to surrender our plan. We have to surrender our dreams and our agenda and unite ourselves to His cause. And as the verse says here, unite our heart to His name. Amen. So first off, being teachable will go a long ways with God. And you may not be the brightest bulb in the drawer or the sharpest knife. You may not be knowing Greek and Hebrew and how to use lexicons and theology degrees. But if you'll have a teachable heart, God will use you. And I'm going to show you tonight that God will use you if you'll be teachable. I'm going to show you tonight that. And the thing that God wants you to see is He wants you to stop looking at what men say and stop comparing yourself to other people. God wants you to look to Him, and God wants you to give your heart to Him. And if you'll do that, then God will mold you and make you into the person He wants you to be. And what God wants you to be is better and greater than what you want or anyone else wants. Amen? And you may have enough humbleness to say, well, I don't care what I want, but you may be taken advantage of by others and other people telling you how you should act and how you should be. But God wants you to first and foremost come to Him with a teachable heart. Now, second part I want you to see in this, He says, to teach me thy way. Now, this King James word, thy, is one person. It means singular. God didn't make a mistake when He put the these and the thous in the Word of God. Thy there means that it's nobody else's way that you're supposed to be taught but God's. It's not about you having your way. Amen. It's not about pastor having his way. It's not about a church group having its way, is it? It's not about anybody having their own way, but it is about you being taught the way of God. Amen. God's way is the right way. Amen. How many of you know that God's way is straight and narrow? Come on, somebody. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Amen. And today, our generation, we've watered it down to where it's broad and wide. But the Word of God says that the broad and the wide is the way to destruction, but the straight and the narrow is the way to life. Amen. And I want you to know tonight that God's never changed. His way has always been straight and narrow, and it'll never be broad and wide. Amen? Has God changed? Come on. Let's think through this. God hasn't changed one iota from the first of man's history. God has not changed in any way whatsoever, nor will He ever change. And if His way was ever straight and narrow, it's still straight and narrow today. Amen. And so one of the things that we need to see in this is that culture changes, and sometimes churches will lower their standards to be more worldly and to be more worldly-like and to have the favor of the world and to not stick out like a sore thumb, because if you stay to the straight and narrow, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're not going to laugh at the jokes the world laughs at. You're not going to watch the movies the world watches. You're not going to listen to what the world listens to. Amen. You're not going to act like the world. Why? Because you're going to follow Jesus. He said, teach me thy way. And you have to make that decision for your life. Are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to follow the world? Amen. What is it about our life that separates us from the world? It is the Spirit of God. Amen. So He says, teach me thy way. God's way is straight and narrow. As I said, it's the old path. Amen. You run that back to Jeremiah. He said, it's the old paths. That's where life is. God's always operated through the old paths, through the way of holiness. God's looking for people that'll just come to that place, that realization that what God's looking for in your life is a heart of repentance and a heart of obedience. Amen. God's not waiting on you to get a degree. God's not waiting on you to learn a Greek word. God's not waiting on you to learn Hebrew and Latin. God's not waiting on you to do any of that. You know what He's waiting on? He's waiting on someone to actually repent and obey. He's waiting on someone to do what He says, to turn from their way, to turn from the world way, and to come after Him in obedience. God's just looking for someone to believe. So He's looking for someone to follow Him. Amen? Teach me. Teach me, Lord. Can you say that? Just say, teach me. Teach me, Lord. How humble does it make us when we say, you know what, Lord, teach me. I'm willing to go where You say to go. Sometimes the Lord wants you to do things that's not fun. Teach me Your way, Lord. And yet the one we follow, when He was on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You want to be taught by Jesus, you're going to have to learn the way of Jesus. Amen. That's hard. Forgiving someone that's done you wrong, that's hard. Not holding it over their head, that's hard. Turning the other cheek, that's hard. But there's wisdom in there too. Now, notice what He says in this next part of this verse. He says, teach me thy way. Amen. O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. I will walk in thy truth. That's an obedient heart. That's what I was saying. God is looking for you to have a willingness to obey Him. I will walk in thy truth, not culture's truth. Amen? Not in what you think truth should be. You talk to a lot of people, they'll say, well, you know, I just think that, you know, it's just a little too harsh to do this, or a little too, you know, wild to do that. But you know, the Bible wants you to walk in God's ways, in His truth. Amen? Truth is not subjective, it is objective. There's a standard of truth, and it was uttered from eternity past, and is still there. Truth belongs to Jesus. He said He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say He knew the truth. He said He was the truth. Amen? And God wants you to walk in truth. What does our generation want you to walk in? Our generation wants you to walk in its wisdom, in its way, in what it says is true. Amen? But you know, if you follow the truth of a generation, you're going to be led astray. You follow the truth of a generation, you're going to be led astray. A couple hundred years ago, you'd be thinking slavery was A-OK if you follow the truth of a generation. Amen? The truth of our generation, you follow it, you'd be out there at the abortion mill. The truth of a generation is a lie. You have to unite yourself to God's truth. God is the standard of truth. If we're going to follow the Lord Jesus, we have to unite ourselves and walk in His truth. And let what God says be the final word. Amen? Something has to settle the score. Amen. Something has to give us our bearings. There has to be a true north. There has to be a North Star. There has to be a reality in what the truth really is. And for every generation, no matter how wicked the generation is, God's word will lead them out of the wickedness and into holiness if they'll follow after Jesus. As it says here, if they will walk in His truth. Amen. But you know, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do that. And that's one of the things that God is at the very beginning of that, where He says, teach me thy way. If you're going to stand up for what is right in this generation, it's going to take courage. You're going to have to follow Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus had a lot of courage? He looked straight at those Pharisees and called them vipers, devils. Amen. Called them liars. I mean, he looked at the devil in the face and rebuked the devil. He had a lot of courage. Amen. All the way to the end. Now it says in this also, it says at the end of this verse, this is what I want to move into. It says, unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, in order for you to be the man or woman of God that God called you to be, you have to have a teachable spirit, you have to have a willingness to obey, and you have to have an undivided heart. God is looking for you to settle this issue in Him. Amen. And I'm going to show you in just a minute that God's looking for people that are going to do this tonight. To unite their heart to fear His name means that your heart's no longer divided. You don't have a Sunday heart and a Monday heart. Amen. You don't have your heart set on the things of the world and the things of God at the same time. Amen. That's what we call a double-minded person. Amen. You know, if you ever talk to a double-minded person, you can't get nowhere with them, can you? It's like just talking to a revolving door. Everything changes. You talk to them the next day, it's like you never said anything. And they'll go completely opposite. God is calling on us to not only be no longer double-minded, but to not have divided affection. God wants our affection to be on Jesus. Amen. He said to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. Amen. And until we come to this point to where our hearts are united to fear His name, we're not going to go forward in God. Amen. We're not going to go forward in God until we get this thing buckled down. So God wants us to not have divided affections. The other thing about your heart is sometimes our heart has doubts. It has unbelief. It wavers. It waffles. It flakes out. But you see, the true disciple of the Lord Jesus says, Lord, unite my heart to Yours. Because I don't want to waver. I don't want to flake out. I don't want to turn back. I don't want to pull a Demas. I don't want to turn around and forsake You. I need You to unite me to Yourself. Amen? It also calls upon you to turn away from worldly lust and worldly vanities. Now, the reason why I believe God wants us to get this down tonight is because He's looking for the teachable in heart. God's looking for someone to be teachable and pliable in this generation. And in this verse here, we see God's call on our life is to be united to fear His name. Amen? Amen, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. And I want to show you why this is important. Acts chapter 4. God's looking for the fearless and the faithful. The fearless and the faithful. That's who God's looking for. There was a generation, the apostles, that Jesus selected. Jesus handpicked his disciples, his apostles. And he didn't go down to the book club. Amen. He didn't go down to chess club. He didn't go down to the Bible school. Amen. He didn't even go down to the local church. He went down there to the fishing docks. He went down there where the common man was. He went down there to where the simple in heart were. People that wouldn't have their hearts divided. People that would be willing to follow Jesus, whatever the cost would be. Jesus went down in a road that the world would call ignorance. The wisdom of God was on display when Jesus went down to the boat dock and began selecting apostles. And you know, it's no mistake in your life that Jesus selected you. Amen. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, he didn't come to you because you have great intellect. He didn't come to you because you can speak multiple languages. He didn't come to you because of what you bring to the table. Let me say it like that. He came because you had sincerity of heart. Nobody's going to get right with Jesus until they come with sincerity of heart. Until they come with a simplistic, sincere heart telling the Lord, I want you. I want to be right with you, Lord. You see, the Lord used the fishermen of the day. And in that generation, the fishermen of the day were the most uneducated. We think uneducated today, and we really don't know what that means. But really and truly, the uneducated of that day were really uneducated. They had zero education. Now, they knew how to tie knots. They knew how to catch fish. They knew how to clean wildlife that they caught and cook it. But you talk about reading and writing and the things of the law, they were completely ignorant. And I want you to see that that's not a requirement for someone to go forward in God. God's not looking for people that know how to read and write and understand all the nuances of the law. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for those that are simplistic in their heart. He's looking for simple, childlike faith. He's looking for those that are willing to believe him. Amen. You see, the reality is a lot of times the more educated someone is, the harder it is for them to have faith. Amen. Because they begin to get off into left field. But God's looking for people that will have simple, childlike faith tonight. It says in Acts chapter 4, now this is right on the heels of Peter and John healing this man. And they began to get questioned about how they did this. And I want to run this down to verse number 11. Well, let's start with verse number 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." Somebody say any other. There's no salvation in Buddha or Muhammad. There's no power in yoga. Amen. He said there's no salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I believe if they had it back then, that would have been Peter doing a mic drop. Boom. He said, you know, you crucified him. The way that we healed this man, we preached and we spoke the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that same Jesus that you put on the cross, and you shouted, crucify him, crucify him. That's the one that we called on, and that's why he's standing here today. And he said, and on that one, he said, there's no other name that we can call on for someone to be saved. There's no other name that we can call on for someone to be made whole. There's no other person that can make a broken heart whole. There's no other person that can make the lame walk. There's no other person that can open the eyes of the blind. Amen. Look, you can try all that you want to, but there's no other person that can take the drunkard and make them sober. There's no other person that can take the fornicator and make them clean in the eyes of God. There's no other person that can take the murderer and give them the tender heart of a teddy bear. There's no other person that can take the pride out of someone and give them a spirit of humility. Only Jesus can save someone and make them whole. Amen? He said there's no other name given among us whereby we must be saved. And yes, he's talking about salvation, but I want you to know he's talking about healing and deliverance and forgiveness of sin. He's talking about cleansing and setting free those that have been held captive by the enemy. Amen. He's talking about setting loose those that were once held captive and making them free in Jesus' name. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. There's no other name given to us whereby we must be saved. And God is calling on you tonight to remember, don't lean on the arm of your own understanding. Don't lean on your learning at universities and thinking you need degrees and philosophies. When you see someone who's broken, who's unclean, when you see someone who's bound by drugs, when you see someone who's going the wrong way, there is one and only one name that that person needs to call on. And it's not you, it's not me, it's not your church or your grandma. It is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when they call on his name, all things are possible. All things are possible. When they call on his name, that's when God takes someone like Jeffrey Dahmer, who was on murder row, who was on death row, and saves a man like that, that was a murdering cannibal. And save someone on death row. When you call on the name of Jesus, only our God can do that. Only our God can do that. Everything outside of Jesus is superficial. But what God does through Jesus is supernatural. And I want you to know tonight that that's what these men knew. They knew Jesus changes everything. When Jesus gets involved in somebody's life, he takes them out of their way, out of the broad way, out of the wide gate, and he brings them into the straight and narrow, and he makes them whole in Jesus' name. And when Peter said that, like I said, I believe it was a mic drop moment. I believe when they heard that, and they heard that this man, that think about it, this man was impotent. He couldn't walk. And Peter and John, they preached to him Jesus and spoke faith. This man got up and walked. And those Pharisees, the religious leader, how many of you know religious folks, they get sideways sometimes. You're not supposed to do it like that. How'd you do that? And Peter, man, when they asked him that, it was like God said, give it gas, son. And I mean, Peter stomped on that thing. And Peter began to preach, and he said, well, I'm preaching to you about Jesus. The same one you crucified is the same one I'm preaching, and there's no other way for someone to be made whole but the name of Jesus. Boom. And I mean, when he did that, look at this verse number 13. It said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been where? In university, in theology school. They marveled and they said, wow, we want to go to that same Bible school. Wow, we want to go to their church. Wow, we need to learn their theology. What did they say? They've been with Jesus. They know that man. They know that man. There's substance. There's reality to their faith. They've actually been with this man. See, they didn't go to theology school or Bible school. They went to the school of Christ. They had been with Jesus. They walked with him. They ate with him. They prayed with him. They fasted with him. They learned from the Savior the truth of the Word of God. And I want to tell you tonight that God's not waiting on you to go to Bible school. God's not waiting on you to learn something, to unlock something. The thing that you need to learn is Jesus. And if you'll spend time with Jesus, if you'll sit at the feet of Jesus, if you'll tarry before Jesus, if you'll love Jesus, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, if you'll trust Jesus, if you'll obey Jesus, if you'll follow Jesus, if you'll shout the name of Jesus, then God will do the same thing in your life that he did for them. Then they'll be able to say, you know what, that guy right there, he is unlearned and ignorant, but man, I can tell he's been spending time with Jesus. I can tell he's been in the prayer closet. I can tell he's been in the Word of God. Amen. Look, people shouldn't look at you and say, man, look at all the books on your bookshelf. Look at all the theology that you know. They should be like, man, that person knows the Word of God. That person knows the God of the book. Amen. God's looking for people that are willing. And I want you to see God use Peter and John in a marvelous way. These religious Pharisees, when they looked at this situation and they began to see what happened, they looked down and they marveled. They marveled. They marveled. And I want you to know that it is the power of God at work in you that will cause the world to marvel. It doesn't say love. They didn't love them. They tried to kill them. Eventually, they got them. They didn't love them. So don't get mixed up here. They didn't say, wow, these are unlearned, ignorant men. They've been with Jesus. Let's give them roses. No, that's not what they did. They admitted the reality. These are unlearned, ignorant men. They've been with Jesus. They marveled, but they got angry. Because Jesus turns the religious world upside down. Jesus turns the religious world upside down. Amen. It says he wants you to learn his way. Amen. Now, I do want to tell you that when I say when Jesus turns the religious world upside down, it doesn't mean that it's any which way you want to go. Remember what we read earlier, Psalm 86, 11. Teach me thy way. Thy way, not man's way, not man's way, not my way, not my way. Don't teach me my way. I already know my way. My way is horrible. Amen. I remember praying that when I got saved. I said, Lord, I made a mess of my life. All I know how to do is to make things worse. Oh, I don't know how to do this. It's, you know, some people, they have a problem with surrender. That was one thing I didn't. I was ready to give. How many of you been in that situation? Were you ready to give the keys to Jesus? I'm done driving this boat. I know what I'm capable of. I'm done driving this thing. Take the keys, Jesus. Amen. You know, God's looking for people that'll just trust him like that. That'll just trust him. But yeah, they marveled. They marveled. They said, man, these are unlearned, ignorant men. But they didn't love them. They didn't love them. They marveled. Amen. So what happens here is after they began to do that, they begin to work their religious concoction. But the part I want you to see is that God's willing to use you not because of your intellect or your natural ability, but if you have a teachable heart. And you're willing to obey Jesus and you call on him to unite your heart, that your heart's no longer divided, that you don't have scattered affections out there, that you don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, that you don't have one foot in God's plan for your life and one foot in your plan for your life. But if you'll say, Lord, unite my heart. I'm tired of living a divided double life. I'm tired of having a double standard. I don't want to have Monday living and Sunday living. I'm ready to have my heart set upon you. Unite me to fear thy name is what that verse said. And it says in the Word of God in Proverbs that it is the fear of God that is the beginning of all wisdom. You will never go anywhere with God until you begin to fear God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means to be... to be afraid to be without him. That's what the fear of God means. The fear of God means to honor him, to reverence him, and to not want to go one day without him. That's the beginning of all wisdom. Amen. See, I know what life is like without Jesus. I know you do too. And it's not fun, is it? The fear of God is that desire to be as close to him as possible. The safest place for you to be is as close to the shepherd as possible. Amen. Don't let anybody lie to you. You keep going as close as you can to Jesus. They may call you a holy roller. They may call you a religious zealot. They may call you crazy. Amen. They may call you unlearned, ignorant, but let them say, but I can tell one thing about them. They might be religious zealot, holy rollers, but I can tell that they've been with Jesus. Amen. I can tell they've been with Jesus. God's looking upon you and me tonight to have this teachable heart to say, Lord, it's you that I need. It's you that I need. Teach me your way, God. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Now, the way of Jesus sometimes takes you a way you don't want to go. I've never talked to one Christian that everything's gone perfectly easy and well to their liking all their life. Amen. But I'll be honest with you. You talk to people in the world, and life's not all as cracked up to be on that side either. But you've got to make the choice that you want to have your heart united to the cause of Christ and that you're willing to follow him. Amen? His way is better, but it's straight and narrow. There's two different paths that you can follow. The wide or the straight and narrow. So God's looking upon us tonight to follow him. Now, there is a teacher. We said earlier, teach me your way. But I want to tell you there is a teacher. How many of you know who the teacher is? The teacher is the Holy Ghost. The teacher is the Holy Ghost. John, turn with me to the book of John chapter 14. John chapter number 14. You don't have to sit at the feet of Gamaliel like Paul. You don't have to deify men like certain religions. Even Paul dealt with that. He had to straighten that out in the Corinthian church. He said, some say they're of Paul, some say they're of Apollos. But God wants you to be of Jesus. In John chapter number 14, run with me down to verse number 26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. You know what the Holy Ghost is? Y'all know what a ghost is, right? Come on. A ghost is a disembodied spirit. The Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of God. Amen. He don't have a body, does he? He's a spirit. The Holy Ghost means a disembodied Holy Spirit of God finds a body, a home in you, that he fills you. Amen. Does he have a home in your life? Amen. Are you the temple of God? Amen. Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Is he resident in you? He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, the word comforter here, it means the one that walks along beside you. That's who the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is the one that walks along beside you through all of life's nooks and crannies. When the lights go out, when everybody deserts you, the Holy Ghost is still there beside you. Comforter. It's that one that walks with you through all of life's trials and tribulations. The Holy Ghost is who Jesus baptizes his people in. But he says here, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you some stuff. He'll teach you some things. The Holy Ghost will teach you some religious nuggets. The Holy Ghost will teach you all things. He says the Holy Ghost to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Do you know what Jesus said to you? 66 books worth. You know, he's the Word of God made flesh, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. It is that Word of God that the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. Everything that you need to learn will be learned by the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is God that will teach you. It is God that will guide you. It is God that will go with you. It is God that will never leave you nor forsake you. It is God that will uphold you and strengthen you. It is God that will give you light in the darkest time of your life. It is God that will direct your steps when you don't know what to do or where to go or who to call on. It is God that will teach you, and he says he'll teach you all things. Whatever Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will teach you those things. But you have to have a teachable heart. You have to have that teachable heart, like it said at the beginning. Teach me your way, God. Teach me your way. I will go where you want me to go. I will follow after your way. But teach me, God. Teach me. I want to tell you tonight that you'll never be who God wants you to be if you're not teachable. Number one. If you're not teachable, you'll never be who God wants you to be. Number two, you need to know this reality. There's only one way to please God, and that's to follow Jesus. You can't go how you want to go. Amen. God's not a democracy. God's not going to take a vote and stick his thumb in the air. Okay, you want to go your way? No, God's already established what truth is. God's already established the right way. Amen? And it's not up for debate. God's way is not up for debate. Now, I know people hem and haw, and they you know, do all their stuff, but God's word is settled. God's word is written and is done. And Jesus said in the book of Revelation that there would be a curse on anyone that adds to or takes away from the word of God. So God's word is settled. His way is true. And if you have a teachable heart, number one, and you're willing to go his way, number two, and to follow him, number three, and have your heart set on him, number four. If you're willing to do that, I'm telling you tonight, people are going to call you unlearned and ignorant, but they're going to marvel that you've been with Jesus. And that's what God's looking for in our generation. He's not looking for what the world thinks. He's looking for people that are willing to follow him, that are willing to know him, that are willing to have their heart set upon him. You know, Jesus told the disciples in the book of Acts, he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high." This power that God sent down by the Holy Spirit, that came as a result of them waiting on God, not going where they wanted to go, but waiting on the teacher, the comforter, to come and to lead them and to guide them. Amen. In the world's wisdom, God loves to confound it. In the world's wisdom, it will set up men and institutions in broad ways. But God's wisdom is the cross. God's wisdom is Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. Amen? That's what God's wisdom is. And God's looking for people that will hold to that reality. Turn with me. I want to share one last verse with you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 18. I want to just share this with you. Many people think that they need degrees and diplomas and worldly recognition. Many people think that they need the applause of men and they need the adoration of others. It says in verse number 18, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Power of God is not up for debate. Power of God comes one way, and it's through the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where God's power is. And if you need God's power in your life, you've got to come back to the reality of the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. The power of God is not up for the wisdom of men. It's not up for dad jokes. The wisdom of God is not up for debate, and the power of God is not up for debate. The power, you know, I need the power of God in my life. I can't be who God's called me to be without His power. Amen. You shouldn't be able to go through life without the power of God on your life. Let me tell you something. I don't need the power of God to just come on me on Sunday morning so I can preach. I need the power of God on Sunday night so I can honor God on Sunday night like Sunday morning. I need the power of God when I wake up in the morning. Amen? I need the power of God when I go through my day. Amen. The power of God's not just so that we can have a powerful altar call. The power of God is so we can live a holy life that pleases God. But it says that it's foolishness to the world, but to us it's the power of God. Look at verse 19. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to tell you that if you set yourself up to be wise in anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ, God will trip you up. God Himself will confine you. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the world. This is why people go mad. This is why people go crazy, because they will run around the cross until you come to that cross and surrender. Until you come with a broken and a contrite heart and say, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of seeking the affection of the world. I'm tired of going my own way and doing my own thing. I'm ready to come to you, and I need the power of God in my life. Until somebody comes to that place, that's what God is looking for. But people that go their own way and use their own wisdom and reject the power of God, God, you see it right there in verse 19. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will destroy it. You set yourself up against the cross, and people, they don't realize that. But when you go your own way, that's what you're doing. When you reject the counsel of the Holy Spirit, when you reject the Word of God, when you reject His way, when you reject all of those things, then you're actually going against the cross. And God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. So I want to encourage you tonight to say, Lord, I'm ready to lay down my ways. I'm ready to lay down my ways, and I want to be united to fear your name. Teach me, teach me, teach me, Lord, and I'll follow you. If that's you tonight, I want you to respond. Amen. I'm going to pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless you tonight. We thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for the power of God at work in our lives. And Lord, we thank you tonight that you're willing to work in the life of any person that's willing to believe. Lord, I thank you that you were willing to stop and have water at the well with a woman in Samaria. You were willing to have your feet washed with the hair of the prostitute and her tears. You were willing to cry with Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. You were willing to love the unlovable, the tax collector. You were patient with Peter, who was so quick to act. And Lord, you showed mercy when you went to the cross. Lord, I thank you for the power of the cross. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that you would touch each and every person in this place, that you would unite us to fear your name. That we would have the humbleness of heart to say, Lord, teach me and I'll follow. If that's you tonight, I want to pray with you right where you're at. If you would just raise your hand. If the Lord has ministered to you through the message tonight, just raise your hand so I can pray with you right where you're at. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? You're saying yes to God. Say, Lord, I hear you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Father God, we thank you tonight for touching our hearts. Thank you for the simplicity of the message of the cross. Lord, I thank you tonight that you're willing and able to change us. And Lord, I'm asking tonight for an impartation of your Spirit in the life of every person, oh God. And Lord, I pray that we would experience the power. Lord, we bless you tonight. In Jesus' name. I want to give you an opportunity to come to these altars if you feel led of the Lord to come. These altars are a place where you can lay down your burdens. It's a place where you can have a moment with Jesus and tell him that you love him. He's your high priest.